Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Welcome to another edition of Critical Issues, where we talk about the issues of today and the things that affect our very and everyday lives here. This is your co-host, Henry Hasib, and we have with us Dr. Jamal Rashid. And our subject that we're discussing today is credit. And I know that's going to be a very interesting question to raise during this time of year. But we know that there's many types of credit there that we look at here when we talk about credit. But we're going to kind of delve into the depths of it and see how this credit affects our everyday lives. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Jamal Rashid. How are you doing this morning?
Well, thank you, Mr. Brother Henry. Alhamdulillah.
All right. Well, we'll turn it over to
Brothers and sisters in the American Muslim 360 block radio listening audience, we greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. You know, as you stated, I noticed that that I go to. Am I still on? Okay.
A little background. I don't know what that was.
As you stated, and those people are buying back consumers. And you notice change, they keep changing the interest rates several times in a year. And people are struggling. Not just us. Many people don't have credit. But those that do are struggling just as much. Payday or month to month, week to week. Because people are influenced to buy emotionally to let their emotions rule versus their intellect. And the emotions outweigh. Then there's another purchase. And many times when they consider or have time to think about what they have done, many want to return it. What they have purchased. Now I even understand that there are going to be charges to be applied for return items. So I don't know what's behind all of this, but this is a critical, rough time financially, economically. So if anybody have some concerns, we'd like to hear from you this morning on this very topic, credit. Has it worked for you? So, Brother Henry, I'm going to yield at this time and give it back to you.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. You know, Dr. Rashid, what I did, I always take the liberty of kind of looking up keywords. And I looked up that word credit. And, you know, Imam Muhammad has taught us that words make people. And I have kind of looked at how words and meaning, they have given different meaning to words. And, you know, when we take this word credit, it means a lot of different things. You know, when you're watching a movie, what comes up in that movie, they call it credit there. And they give certain credits to certain people, writers and stuff for that play. And then even when you're in school, you know, when you're in school, especially college there, you have to get so many credits in order to complete that course. So they use credit in a variety of ways here to, and I think these words are used the same to really confuse the masses of the people here. But then it gets down to finance, and we use credit, the same word again. And this credit is really saying that, hey, I will let you have some goods today and you pay me tomorrow. I can remember on the cartoon Popeye the Sailor Man, some people may remember that cartoon out there, and they had this guy named Wimpy. And Wimpy always wanted to buy two hamburgers today, and I will gladly pay you on Tuesday. Well, since that time, credit has really taken an evolution. So the word itself is not necessarily bad, credit. And usually, in looking at words, I find out a lot of times that they start out with a good meaning, like the credit in college and the credit for writing a movie, credit for doing a certain thing in the society. And they have good meaning. And then we'll take the same word and give it a bad meaning. One of the popular words today that people use, it may not be as popular as it used to be, but they took the word for good and they changed it over to bad. So when something was good, the person would relate to that as it was bad. And, you know, from that, you know, here your mind is telling you that something is bad, but it's really good, that confuses the mind. And I think a lot of this language out here is to confuse the people. So credit in itself is not bad. But when you start looking at the meanings that they give to it, and even the word loan, when we're talking about finances, that would not necessarily be a bad word because, you know, the Quran says, loan to Allah, a beautiful loan. And then we know it goes down that avenue. But they have taken same words like credit, and now we misuse the society by abusing the credit. So now today is, hey, here's the charge card that you can get for 6 months free interest or 12-month free interest, and they compete with each other on this. But they don't have you looking at the end result as to the debt that you created. Can you pay that off within that period of time? And they're banking that at the end of the 12 months of interest free, then you'll have a big debt on there that now they can charge you 21, 25, 26, 31% interest on it. And therefore, you have just put yourself in financial slavery again, and that you may or may not be able to come out of. So that's what I wanted to add to that on this important subject of a credit there, because it could be looked that it could be used in a sense where it makes sense for you. I tell people there when I'm advising them financially, I say we have to use credit and credit cards as just a convenience. But I say don't go charge things that you can't afford to pay for. And this seems to be the big problem with people is they go out and they make charges, but they don't know how it's going to be paid. And because a lot of times it's a merchandise that's given today that you pay for tomorrow, it's not even put in the budget. It's just, I want this today, and I got a card, I can charge it. I don't have to come up with any cash money today. And if it don't go right for me, then I can pay monthly payments, which is the big mistake. But this is done in this society. It's not done to help people. It's doing to enslave people, except the masses. If we looked at just the interest that is paid monthly on credit cards, it would be mind-boggling. So I wanted to add that to it. And we do invite our listeners there that if you do have a question or comment, on this very important subject of credit, especially this time of year. They have taken holidays there, and now they have commercialized these holidays, and they really take out the meaning of what the holiday is supposed to be about. You know, I often wonder, why is it that in some religion this is the most holiest, as they say, time of the year? And that's what they'll say. They ain't got songs about it. Holy night and all of these type of things. This is a holy time. And but when we look at the action of the society of people, especially people who celebrate these things, it seems to be the most criminal time of the year. It's when more crime is committed, more murders are committed, all of that during this time of year that's supposed to be pure and holy. And I say that because it goes back to that pressure of credit of not being able to do the commercialization of what this holiday is really about. Dr. Rashid, we do have a call in the queue, so we're going to take them before we go to break, and then we will take a break. We're going to bring in area code 727-916. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Martha Nyla Abdullah, calling from St. Petersburg / Clearwater, Florida. And greetings of peace to both of you, Dr. Rashid and Henry Hasid, and to all of our listeners. My comment, and as soon as you said credit, I guess my emotions and my mind goes back to anyone asked me about my credit, I say, look at me. You know, look at me. And you know, of course, I was dumbing down the idea that country, the history, and my complexion, and being female, not having, you know, the resources early years, not being the quote-unquote breadwinner. Now, stepping forward and taking a little more control and understanding into the effect of my using monies and seeing how monies are spent, not having used the best thinking, of course, being, as we say, microwave about it, yes. My mother always said, whatever you do, do not get connected with the finance companies. And I'm looking now, I'm saying, like, they're financing bread and butter. You know, back on the credit card, we actually had a tab at the local store, which was nice, and the gentleman was very reasonable. He really didn't charge us any extra dollars. He really didn't. It's just that we could put it on what you call your tab. Now, but on otherwise with businesses, my question is, when you go to purchase a car or anything that's financed, and they run your credit, how can you recoup I didn't know that they run it through, like one gentleman told me, oh, we run it through thousands of loaners, institutions, agencies, or what have you, and then that immediately affects your credit and your credit score. So, you know, having credit or wanting credit, just share with me, if you can, that part of it, like for one to be aware that occurs.
Well, you know, I look at it as, I look at it like you're in the jungle. And you have to figure out how, because the ones who give you the credit card, of course, they'll say they gave it to you or let you have it because you seem to be a credit-worthy person. But the trick of it is that the real scheme behind the scheme of the smiling faces that they used to sing about, the smiling faces, how the smiling faces sometimes they tell lies. to get you in a system, to get you in a web like the spider that you can't get out of. Now, they have figured in, and the reason they, one of the reasons I believe they charge so much interest, I don't care how good your credit is, you can have an 850 score, which I think they say goes up to 900 as far as they're ranking you in the credit area. But you could, but they will still charge you 31% interest. But they're telling you the reason you're able to get, now what they will do is they may give you a little bit higher amount that you can charge. You know, maybe based on my credit, they may give me $5,000, or based on your credit, they may give you $25,000. That, to me, just gets you deeper and deeper in the web, that they know once you get in it, it's going to take an act of God to get you out of it. And that's the part that I don't like about credit. But credit has always been, and it's been, it was being used for the good. You know, we know that our prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, he was a merchant, a trader. And we know the stories of how people entrusted him with their goods to take to the market and to bring them their thing. Well, that's a form of credit. But that's a form of credit, as you say, how it was even when I was coming up, because we owned a grocery store too, and we used to let the people in the neighborhood have credit. Of course, that's a two-way street that kind of put us out of business, but that's another story. But we let them have, they would come today, and maybe they needed milk for the baby, but they didn't get paid off to the, till tomorrow or till next week. There and some people on fixed income, it was to next month. And my mother would let them have to run a tab, as you say. They would run this tab, and when they got their money, they would came and pay, because they would come and pay the bill. Sometimes if they couldn't get it all, they'd pay part of it. But we didn't charge interest and all. You know, that wasn't. That wasn't there. Credit was a good thing. I need something today, but I don't have the money today to pay for it, but I will have it next week, and I can give you your money back. And a lot of the people had principles then. That's exactly what they did. Some because of whatever the reason, they didn't do it. So it can act as a good, but too many times is used to entrap the people and take us to put us in a position that we shouldn't be trying to get people. And when we find them in the position, we should be trying to help them out. And say when your brother, your sister is down, you should give them a helping hand up. We should always speak a word to the right. But we know this system that we have here of credit is. And now they're making it almost impossible. The more we go into the future, the less you're going to be able to pay for something cash. You, even if you got the cash in the bank, you're going to have a debit card in order to pay for your transaction, because they don't accept cash. And I've seen places that just don't accept cash. You go to the doctor's office or some doctor's office there, and you try to pay with cash, they don't take cash anymore. You got to have a debit card. So we have taken something good and put it in the financial area of and made it bad. But when we look at credit and the thing of writing a book and getting credit, or going to school and getting credit for your work, those are good things. So we get used to the word credit, and we want credit. The more credits we got, the better, you know, the better it is in those areas. But then we take it, and then we use it and abuse it. And that's what we are kind of alluding to today, this credit, how it is being abused by the masses, on the masses of the people today, that I tell my clients when I'm talking to them about this, I say, well, do you feel sending somebody else's child to college and you can't even afford to send your own? I say that's what these credit cards will do for you. And not only, I think if I loan you some money and you need my money today, and there's a reasonable rate that's fair to you and fair to me, then we should all be happy. But today, 25, 26, 31% interest, there's no way that you can justify that that's fair to anyone. So that's what I wanted to say about this credit here. So it can be used as good, but too often it's used and abused. And by big names, Visa, MasterCard, Discovery, American Express, all of them are out to get you. But if you would look at their figures of what they earn in just interest on their money, you would say it's a sin and a shame. So we thank you for that. Did you have any other comments that you wanted to make?
Yes, I want to know, okay, is it, because my husband and I, God rest his soul, he and I intentionally did not get a credit card because we said, oh, no. But, of course, getting the ones, and still an entrapment, like you say, because you get back at the time, it was 19.99% or 29.99%, and those prepaid cards is what they call them.
Mm-hmm.
Prepaid. Nevertheless.
I have seen, especially, I'm sure they're doing many, they got these cards out here now because banking has gone to a new level. Usually the bank would refuse somebody that didn't have the credit standard that they got. But now you got cards that you can get, cash cards that is a bank in essence, but they found out that they can get in and make money off of you, and they don't have to charge you at the higher fees that these banks and all charge you for that, like the $35 for if your money get there at the same time your deposit, they're going to take your money first, the charge first, and then charge you $35 or $40 there for that money being there ahead of that. And these new cards, I understand a lot of them won't do that on there. So they are trying to get in the game to start by charging you these what they call introductory rates or lower rates for their service than the bank do, other financial institutions. But greed in this society we know is very, very prevalent. And the more money that a person gets, which I have never really understood, the more they want. So that's the reason we got these super, super billionaires around here, because they got more than generational wealth. Some of them don't even have children to give it to. Family to give it to, but they want more and more and more. And when that greed factor get into anything, when that greed factor get into it, then, we on the road to destruction. So the more money I get, the more money I want. So if I get $1,000, now I want $2,000. If I get $1,000,000, now I want $1 billion. And if I get $1 billion, I want to be the top. I want to be the number one person, the most wealthiest person in the world there to hold these titles. And the way you do that is become selfish. That's because if you kept the wealth going, and really if you practice that system, you can become much more richer than you could the other way. But they practice the selfish route. The more I got, the more I want. And a lot of times with selfishness, when you look at it, you always got to hurt somebody in order to satisfy your appetite. Whereas Allah tells us by helping others, by helping us, helping those that's in need, then our not only our wealth will grow, but our deeds and all will grow that we're really going to be accountable for. I was just talking with some folks the other day. I say, you know, you can make $1 million, but you know what? You can't take one red penny of it with you. I say, so it's not making $1 million that's going to account for you or give you the proper credit. It's what you do while you got that $1 million, how you can help the human society, how you can help human beings. Now, that don't mean being a fool to just give away your money and you begin, you now in the poorhouse. That ain't what that means. And, you know, the prophet, again, peace and blessing be upon us, he warned us today. He said, don't give so much like this that your hand become like this. So don't give so much of your wealth away that you become in poverty. So we have to have common sense. And that's what another problem when we get to credit is what's not being used. People have credit, a card that they use, and that's basically where it looks like all the credit go, or, you know, they got loans and things like that out here that people get there. But the society, the push is to get you so much that you cannot bear it. So everybody is trying to get you. If I wanted to help you, and you say, well, look here, I need some credit. Would you extend me some credit? And we got a fair return on our money that's fair to you and fair to me. That would be okay. But if I say, oh, because you are in this position and that you need credit, then I'm going to take advantage of you. I'll give you $1. But I want $2 back. That's not right. And this is what we call usury in our religion, Al-Islam. So it's the word itself, credit, is not bad, but the misuse and abuse of how society has done it has made it very, very bad. And today we have taken something good and we have turned it into something bad. And we doing, again, words make people. We see how they took the word good and they start using the word bad to represent something good. So that's what I have to say on our credit there. I appreciate your call, sister, that this is a subject that probably most of us need to engage in because it affects us in one way or another. But we're going to stop right here, Dr. Rashid, and we're going to take a station break, and we'll be right back after this brief PSA.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
I Assalamu alaikum, and we're back where we're talking about where would people be without credit? Think about that. Where would people be without credit? And I always say, Dr. Rashid, is that they would be in a better situation because we know we all go through little storms and little tests and things, and life for the human being is not on a straight thing. It's just the up and down thing that we have our up days and we have our down days. And but when a person is down and we take advantage of that person in their situation, then I think we now using credit and other things in one of the worst ways that we can use credit there. And what I mean is that Allah says, even in the Quran, about the usury, that Allah cursed both the provider of it and the receiver of it, that usury, because this is how bad that abusing credit and other thing in the society has become. And that's the situation I see us in. And then we come up with these holidays, as we call them, where people have to spend so much money. The report that I got, and I'll turn it back over to you, Dr. Rashid, report that I got on Halloween, that billions of dollars were spent on Halloween. You know, in the past, Halloween, it was a day they made money. They made good money. But now people are spending billions of dollars on Halloween. So now they got another day that's forcing people to spend money that they may not be able to afford to try to participate. And I see a lot of people who cannot afford it, even during this holiday that's coming up now that we call Christmas. There are people out there spending money that they cannot afford to spend on a holiday, and it really has nothing, as we've discussed, you know, in the past. The commercialization of this holiday has nothing to do with the holiday except have people to spend their money that they can't necessarily afford. But everybody, even all, they try to get involved in this. So you have any comments on that, Dr. Rashid? Assalamualaikum, Dr. Rashid.
No, not really. Because this is your area, and I'm just listening and learning.
Well, it's, you know, and the finance, it's the trap. See, we know, and there's that reminds me of that that spider again, how he set this little web, and it looks flimsy, you know, it looks flimsy. And for some of the bigger animals, it are, but he's not after the bigger animals. He's after the little things that he know he can trap. And, you know, Imam Muhammad has told us that even after he trapped them and takes the life out, he sucks the life blood out of that animal. And I'm talking about how they do it in society, this spider that has got a hook to a human society. Here, it sucks the lifeblood out of us that we actually become a slave to that that we have given ourselves to. So, but on the outside, it looks like it's still alive, but on the inside, all of the life has been sucked out of that species there, that the spider trap. And this just shows you how the society is doing, the masses of the people, because the people who have wealth and can afford these things, believe it or not, they're not going to pay. They may charge on a card as a convenience, but they will not pay the interest because they pay it off every month. And I counsel and talk with a lot of my clients about pay the bill off every month. But they now come up with things like, oh, here's 6 months free interest. So the thing is, now they get you used to paying payments and not paying the total bill off. And after 6 months, you know, you didn't rebudget it that you can afford the maybe the $50 payment, but you can't afford to pay the $500 debt. You know, we had loan come to cash day today, and they still advertise on TV. They called it payday loan. And the payday loan, matter of fact, is worse than the credit card. But in many states, it's legal. And they still have these things. They will give you a pay, what they call a payday loan. They will charge you 17% a week, not a month, but a week. So if you go and you borrow $100 from them, to make it simple, you will pay them a minimum of $17 a week. Now, if you pay the minimum $17 a week, you would pay that the rest of your life and still owe $100. But and the reason you couldn't borrow but $100, because if they see now that you can borrow $200 and we get you in this trap and you pay us $34 a week, and look at how much the interest is. You borrow $100 and pay $17 a week. 5 months, you have paid back the whole principal, but you still owe the whole principal. And the rest of your life, if you pay $17, in the end, you still gonna owe them the $100 that you originally borrowed. And I think that's wrong. But we see that happening in the society, and the law protects them. That's what I say about the laws, that we, even though we say the laws are to protect us from the criminals, when we look at a lot of these laws, they protect the criminal from the person being able to come back at them. And the only recourse, Dr. Rashid, that we have when we get into this is called bankruptcy. And the bankruptcy, because they got different kinds of that, if you file what they call in the personal area, if you file a Chapter 7 that clears out everything, they take everything you got. They take your car, they take your house, they take your furniture, they take everything they got. Of course, some states, they have some amount that they can exclude from them taking thing down to zero, but they'll get you so close that you can't survive. And then there's the other thing is they call Chapter 13. And what they do with Chapter 13 is say, oh, well, okay, we're going to let this person pay the debt off, but because they are in a 13, then they may not have to pay all of that high interest that you charging them. But they're not losing either way. So you are in the position to take the loss either way. And we need to know about these things, because a lot of times we go and we put our own self in these situations. I tell people this. I say, look here. I use this example, Dr. Rashid. I say, if you were on the street, and another person was beating you up, you all was fighting, I say, and if I saw it, I may well pull over and try to break up the fight and stop you all from fighting. Say, hey, that's not good. And I've done that with children quite a few times. But if I was riding down the street and I saw you beating yourself, hitting yourself in the head with your own fist, chances are I'm going to think that you're insane, and I'm not going to stop, because I can't stop you from beating your own self up. And I use that example to show that a lot of these situations, Dr. Rashid, we put our own self in them. We just willfully go and jump into that fire And, you know, we know that through the power of advertising, they make everything. They make the fire scene like oh, this is a good thing for you. But we do this and we cause harm to our own self. And then after that, all we can do is regret. And by the time you go through a couple of those cycles in life, you know, you're at the end. So this thing, a subject of where will people be without credit, I think we will be in a much, much better situation than we presently are in here. If we didn't have people taking advantage of people, and I guess that's where another way we see, where would we be if people was not selfish and take advantage of their fellow men? But where would people also be if we took the attitude that we could help each other, that, hey, we're running in a race, but if you fall, I'm not going to be so selfish that I can't at least give you a hand up and put you back in the race. So I think it all starts with our attitudes there toward how we look at these different, like credit and changing words, the meaning, looking at from I'll give you credit to take advantage of you. So that's what I have to say on the credit. I'm sure there's so much more that here, but we have to get people to begin to think, is this good for me? That's the first thing we should do. Can I do without it? Is it something that I just got to have today? And most things they say we charge on credit, we don't even need, we just want. We do have a caller on the phone, and we're going to go to them right now. We have area code 914-434. Welcome to the program. And state your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif calling from out of New York. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, this is an excellent subject. You know, I remember when you spoke about when your family owned a store and you would let people around the tab up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those days myself. We would run the tabs.
Mm-hmm.
When did it come about? And like you said, at the end of the week or the month, you pay the money back with no incident, thing like that. Now, do you have an idea when this started charging people interest?
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Approximately when you think it started.
I think it started, it began to evolve in the 60s there. In the 70s, it came, you know, a popular. Back when they first started, of course, you had to have excellent reputation or credit there to get it. I tell clients there, I say, you know, around my age, I say, we are the first generation, because my parents didn't have credit cards there. But my generation started getting things on credit and using credit cards to do that. I don't think my mother even... That was a credit card around that they were even interested in. They didn't even think like that. If they borrowed, because, you know, I can remember the days that we used to loan a cup of sugar. Back there, a cup of flour that people had, you know, it's Wednesday or Thursday, and they call it over the hump day. They had to have that because they wasn't going to get paid to Friday to get it. And they would return your cup of flour there because they know you needed your flour. You just had enough that you could let them have some today if they paid you back tomorrow. My family, mothers and fathers, didn't use credit. My father, in his later years, you know, they came up with Sears. Sears was the popular thing. When I was small, they had the Sears and Robot catalog that you could order out of it. And people began to order out of that, and they would let you have some some stuff there on credit. And from there, all of this other stuff came along, as I remember, in our generation. And we start looking at each other. If you could get a credit card, oh, you were somebody. If you had a MasterCard, you really thought you was up with the master. If you got the Visa card and all that, and you told your friends, hey, I have a credit card and I got a $2,000 limit on. Oh man, you thought you was really something. But from there, they started going up and up and up and up on the interest. And they found out it did not make a difference in the people applying for the credit card, whether they had good credit or not so good credit. They just wanted to have that card because they had made it popular. And nowadays, we see how we can abuse. You know, if you would just take 10 people and look at the amount of just interest that they pay on their card in the run of a year, it will pay one of them salary. So that's how bad it is.
Yeah, I guess next point, I think this is where we have to start financial education from our children as early as we can. Financial education.
You are right. That's something I've been preaching for years. And I ask this question. Why isn't it a requirement in school, and it should be at an early age, that we start learning these things? They'll teach you a little bit about money, but it's really not financial education. They do not teach you this because you're being set up so you can be abused by the system. That was a movie that Alfred Hitchcock used to make. You know those Alfred Hitchcock movies. And in this particular movie there were some aliens that came down, and they were healing the people. People have cancer. They healed them of cancer. They get into this pool. They had all these cocoons in the pool and stuff, and they would get in there and they would be healed. And there was only one person in the town that was warning them that they were being set up. And they mocked him and scowled him and all. And at the end of, you know, the Alfred Hitchcock movie, when it showed the aliens, they had a cookbook, and the cookbook said that the recipe called for whale human beings. So they were going to eat them. So we have to know that even though it looked like what they're doing, what is happening to us is good, we got to look at the end result. Are we being set up to be eaten? And I say in the society now that the masses of the people is being set up to be eaten. And we're being eaten alive because of this thing called credit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not get the use of the money that I would have if I'm making $1,000 a month, and $200 of that month is going out in interest or other charges that is giving me nothing. I don't benefit anything. So now my real income, now if I'm paying $250 and I'm making $1,000, my real income, a useful income, ain't but $750. You see what I'm saying? But my mind is on that I'm making $1,000, but I can't use but $750 because the rest of it, even when I pay my bill, is going toward interest. And people just don't see these traps until it's too late and they're in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe ma'am Adam will continue this when he comes on, you know, because y'all both in the same field. Maybe he'll continue
he's going to be talking about entrepreneurship, business, and nonprofit management to community development, which is, it is extension of these finance things, because a lot of times we can't get into that, because if we don't are not able to look beyond our day-to-day activities, it prevents us from the bigger things. You know, Imam Muhammad said something when he was talking about business. He's saying we have to think big, but it's okay to start small. That, you know, that is a profound statement when you really, really look at it. Think big. Don't be a small thinker. Don't limit yourself. But you, and some people, and this is the problem, they want to think big, and if they can't start big, they don't start at all.
Mm.
So if we begin to follow that philosophy, we need to think big, but we can start off with small bites. As they say, to eat an elephant, you eat it one bite at a time. And God knows that when I look at these nature pictures there on those big animals that that may be killed there, and the other animals, everybody, the whole community there of animals partake in there, all the way down to the little ants. You know, the little species. You got the lion, and then you got the hyenas, and you got all of the others that do it. But before that caucus is complete, everybody, the buzzard gets some, everybody get a part, be able to participate in that. Now, suppose the ants would come up with the attitude that he gonna think big about bringing this big elephant down to get his part, but he don't want to start small, because he got to start with the little bite that he can get after the animal is killed. So that's just another example of how they do us here in this human society that we live in. They have us thinking about big things, but we refuse to start with small bites. So I wanted to add that. We got about 3 minutes left in the program here. So do you have any other comments on that, Muhammad?
No, I said praise be to Allah that you've given us this lecture, this talk this morning.
Well, it's something that, you know, that's real, and it gets, and you'll be surprised. This affects all, even the Muslims. This affects the Muslims. Now, they got the vendors. Now they call it Black Friday. That, in other words, they call it Black Friday because this is the time that merchants and all can come from under, from being in the hole all year. If they will work, with all year, but when they get this year, then now they're back in the black again. So it's something that it get everybody. They have you participate, because I'm now in a situation. I'm in the hole. And I don't know human being in business or personal want to operate in the hole. And now here I need this certain amount of merchandise to be sold, and it will put me back on top again. You see how they get us, and now we got to play and misuse each other. I need to encourage you to buy this, even though it may put you in a position. It'll get me out of a position, and that's wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong when we use each other. If I'm going to use, I call it abuse. If I'm going to abuse you, I'm going to take your food from you so I won't be hungry and leave you hungry. That's wrong. And I don't care what religion, whatever you profess, that's wrong. All right. Well, I think we've had a good start on this topic of credit here, and we appreciate your call, Muhammad. And Dr. Rashid, we're about at the end of the program here, so we're going to be getting ready for our brother Adam here, and I'm sure he's going to have a very interesting show, because he's going to talk about how the tax laws and all of this affect us in the type of businesses that we are in. We appreciate you listening to Critical Issues, and we'll see you next week for another edition of Critical Issues That Affect Our Lives. Assalamu alaikum, and we'll see you then.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Trying to get our little PSA in that thing.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Adam B. out here on Money Sense on AM360. I want to welcome all of you to our program today. And I enjoyed the previous program with Dr. Jamal Rashid and Brother Henry Haseeb when they were talking about where would people be without credit, which could have been worded differently. Where are people with credit? And as you probably heard, they're in bad shape. So anyway, and I want to thank my brother Sharif, because I was wondering before, I said, what am I going to talk about today? But then Muhammad gave my marching orders. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. So we're going to continue the topic, because I do think it's an excellent topic. Very, very timely. And then in the third hour, we're going to play, rebroadcast of Imam Yusuf Ramadan, his June 9th, 2022 episode, The Need for Economic Intelligence. So this is going to be, will be a power-packed morning. And hope all of you can just replay the whole thing and play it maybe once a month. Because this is this society, they're going to come at you 24/7. So it doesn't hurt to be reminded. On today's program, I'm going to read from the Quran. Surah At-Tawbah, which I believe is the ninth surah of the Quran. Excuse me, hold on a second. Ninth surah of the Quran. Ayahs 34 and 35. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu inna kathiram minal Akbari wal rukbani layakuluna amwala nasi bil batili wa yasuduna ansabilillah walladhina yaknizuna zuhaba wa fidata wala yunfikunaha في سبيل الله فبشرهم بعذاب أليم يوم يكمى عليها في النار جهنم في تكوى بها جباههم وجنوبهم وذرورهم هَذَا إِمَّا كَنْزَتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوكُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ صدق الله العظيم. In the translation, it's given by Abdul Yusuf Ali, with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. All you who believe, There are indeed many among the priests and anchorites who in falsehood devour the wealth of men and hinder them from the way of Allah. And there are those who bury gold and silver and spend it not in the way of Allah. Announce unto them a most grievous penalty. On the day when heat will be produced out of that wealth in the fire of hell, and with it will be branded their foreheads, their flanks and their backs. This is the treasure which you buried for yourselves. Taste ye then the treasures ye buried. Sadiq Allah Azeem, Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. As I said, I really enjoyed the previous episode with Brother Henry, enumerated many things. And I'm going to continue on with some ideas I have and also relate some facts and answer some of the questions I heard listening in, and most definitely allow for those of you that are listening to answer your questions. So if you have any questions, you know what to do. Just press 1 and get in the queue. But one of the things I heard, the idea was they should teach us about wealth creation, about money, or something to that effect. And I'm wondering who is the they we're talking about. And what obligation, absent any guidance from Allah, what obligation are they under to teach us about wealth and money management, especially when their prime motivation is to get from us money? That's what makes this thing go round. And we as a people, somewhere or another, have been taken out of our good sense, taken out of the idea of what this society is all about, and taken out of the idea that we have an obligation, our own selves obligate us. Our own selves obligate us. We live in a capitalistic society. That's the main thing that floats this society. And if he wasn't sure of that, that that's what it was or is, all you need to do is wait till around this time of year when everything is focused on this season. As Brother Henry so accurately described, they use the language as precursor this season as Black Friday. The only time in the year when most races have no problem with the word black. They have no problem with it. They name a day of the week, and the day after Thanksgiving marks the beginning of the onslaught. And if you're a racist or whatever, you're just as much a victim of that day as anyone else. You know, they get all bent out of shape if we say February is Black History Month. Oh, they get beside themselves. Don't say Black Lives Matter. Oh, they get beside themselves. So much so they try to turn around and say, y'all being racist. You know, they say all lives matter. But in the word all, doesn't include us. But Black Friday marks it. It's like it being at the Churchill Downs or at Kentucky Derby. And you hear the bell ringing. And the announcer says, and they're off. And it talks that the goats, the horses are led out of the, or they charge out of the gate racing. Right? And that's what the day after Thanksgiving represents. And they're off. And people start racing to see how much money they can accumulate to spend. Because as Henry accurately said, if you're dealing with the calendar years of your fiscal year and you're in business, and you've been treading water for almost 11 months, you know that the last month of the year, you're going to bring it home. Because I don't care how much restraint, even if the people in society are trying to restrain themselves, I don't care how much restraint they have. Whatever restraint they might have mustered up for the 11 months erodes in the last month of the year. And they might have had a pledge to not spend any money. They might have had that pledge to not spend any money. And all the willpower they've mustered up. Right? Some of them might have heard the speech by Minister Farrakhan. I'm saying that because I got two texts from people today on Minister Farrakhan said. I didn't listen to it. But it's a YouTube thing, and it says under his picture, no spending for the holiday. No spending for the holiday. And I can imagine what's being said or whatever. But they might have just looked at that YouTube video and thought they had mustered some strength. But by the time this marketing genius finishes this marketing, it just erodes all of the strength that they've mustered up. And they go out and they spend. They go buy things. Right? And the corporations in the last month of the year turn their operations from a loss to a profit. So Henry's right. They called it Black Friday because, you know, Henry's in the accounting, I am, and I know he knows. When you look at financial statements, right, if there's a loss, they put the final number. If it's a loss, they put it in red. It put it in the red. Or it might have a parenthesis around it. Or it might have a negative sign beside it. But for presentation, they put it in the red. And they even use the language, he's operating in the red. They know that if he's operating in the red, he's losing money. And if he's operating in the black, he made money. Or that company made money because the final number was in black. And it might have been a plus sign beside it. So he's in the black. So Black Friday means this is the time we're going to finally turn the corner and produce a profit, and we're going to end the year profitable in the black. Why they call it Black Friday. And that is the reason for the season. If you're in business, you're in business to make money. So that is the reason for the season. Now, where do we stand in that whole equation, in that operation? And for businesses and this society, it's to their benefit not to have an educated consumer. The only business I know who even said he wanted to educate the consumer. So, I used to, when I finished college, I lived in New Jersey. When I got my first job out of college, and I was in New Jersey. And some of you on the line that might be from New Jersey or know about New Jersey, there was one merchant in Jersey, and he prided himself in his advertisement, where he said, the educated consumer is our best, I think it was best product. Somebody from New Jersey, know about it, press one and help me out here. Those of you who have been around a little while, help me out. But I when I was there, I would see his commercials. He said, the educated consumer. I don't know of any other business that take pride in saying he's educating the consumer, or they're educating the consumer. So when you say they should, they don't want you educated. I think someone's going to help me out. I see hands raised. Let's go here. All right. Oh, man, what is wrong with you?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Adams, Brother Yahya, Mount Vernon. How are you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I believe it was an educated was our best customer, something like that.
Yeah. Who was that? Sai Sims?
That was Sai Sims, I think it was.
Yeah. You remember that one, right?
Oh, of course, brother. I'm just
the
as young as you.
Educated consumer. You know what? You're not as young as me.
I say I'm just as young as you.
Don't go there. Okay, there
I'm
you go.
I'm just as young as you.
I got you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was it. You said the educated consumer is my best customer, right?
Yeah.
I don't
and he
know
was
of
correct.
Anybody else that has that. Huh?
And he was right about that.
Yeah.
He was right.
He's the only one I know trying to educate people.
The only one that I know of, I mean,
of
that, especially in that time, in that day and time, brother, you know, people weren't thinking like that.
Yeah.
I mean, not for us anyway, or not for the consumer anyway, you know.
No.
You know, not many were looking up.
Still not.
And still not, exactly, you know.
No, they're still, let's keep them done. Well, thank you, brother. Appreciate
you're welcome, Aki. I've tuned back into the show, and if I get a chance, I'll raise my hand again, inshallah, I'll raise it. I appreciate you, brother, and thank you, and I love you, man. Stay strong,
right.
Stay healthy, and stay connected like you're doing.
I mean, all of the above. Thank you, brother. So he's the only one, and he probably wasn't talking about financial education. I guess he was talking about he's a clothier, so I guess he meant in clothes. When have you heard a bank say that? Not at all. Banks have never said that. So I want to just talk a little bit more about credit cards, but I see we do have another caller. But I do need to take care of business, so let me play this PSA, and then we'll come back and continue on our topic, inshallah. All right.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Serial Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
All right. And with that, we're going to our next caller, who happened to be Muhammad Sharif. We hear him again. As-salamu alaykum, brother.
Yeah, wa alaykum as-salam. Yes, I remember those days when educated consumers are our best customer. I remember New York down the Wall Street area around Chambers Street. Yeah, that was a big store that they sold everything, you know, clothing, shoes, mm-hmm. and all. That was one of their quotes, you know, educated consumer is our best customer. Yes, that kind of got my attention. I used to go there because just speaking about education and best consumer. Yeah, I remember that right well. Thank you.
Yeah. Then he moved out to Paramus. He moved out to Paramus too. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Still in Paramus. That's
okay.
For those you know, don't know, Paramus is in Jersey, so the New York brothers ain't gonna admit to that. But he was in Paramus also.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, yeah. Brother. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. So we're talking about. I hope you're pleased, brother. We're talking about continuing on the last topic with Imam Dr. Jamal, not Imam, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Brother Henry Hafid on where would people be without credit. And I thoroughly enjoyed that topic, so I wanted to expand upon it a little bit. And so I appreciate your suggestion, brother.
Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, my brother. You take care, Hakeem.
Yeah.
Unless you have something else. Okay.
That's it. I'm listening
all
to
right.
you.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. All right. So one of the things I heard, let's talk about credit cards, you know. And let me take you on a timeline based on research about credit cards, which has been some version of it has been around probably over 100 years. And it started out in 1914 when Western Union launched the metal card. They called it the metal card. And they said it was the precursor to the consumer credit card. All right? I'd never heard of the metal card, but I guess when you look at the cards today, when you got the platinum and the gold card, I guess and you know that the cards aren't really gold or they're not really platinum, but it's given names, the cards are given those names to get it into a status type, you know. If you got a gold card, it puts you in a different status, you're in a different group than the person who got just the regular plastic card, you know. Then in 1946, a banker, John Biggins, launches a charger card. And if you live, his bank was Biggins Bank. It's gone. It was in 1946. It's no longer there. I don't know if it was merged or bought by somebody else or whatever. Not sure. But that card was used within a two-block radius of his bank. All right, I guess he went and cut deals with businesses around his bank. And they could use the card, and they had it based on his agreement with that business that he would honor the cards, right? Then in 1950, you heard of the Diners Club, originally used by businessman Frank McNamara, right, in 1950. I remember the Diners Club commercials back then. Right. 1958, American Express launches its first charge card in U.S. and Canada. All right, 1958. In 1960, an engineer, Forrest Powery, invents the magnetic strip used on credit cards and identification badges. All right, that was in 1960. All right. Then in 1974, President Gerald Ford signs the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, prohibiting creditor discrimination based on protected characteristics. Be interested to study what that was all about. I can just imagine, right? 1985, Discover Card came on board. And it made its first purchase for $26.77 at Sears store in Atlanta, Georgia. And then 2014, Apple launches Apple Pay, followed by Android Pay, now Google Pay in 2015. So these are things that you can see credit just making its way into the American society, and the credit cards are, right? And probably everybody has a credit card or some form of credit card. Maybe you have a debit card, which isn't really a credit card. But you're banking on yourself because with debit cards, if you don't have money in your account to cover it, you're going to get the embarrassing transaction declined. I remember I had one client going to pay me, and they put out a card, transaction declined. They pulled out another card, transaction declined. They pulled out another card. I said, man, give me my money. Give me some cash, right? Now, let me say one thing about cash. A lot of businesses, now I take cash, but a lot of businesses don't want to take cash because cash is just too convenient for the person that's accepting the cash to get amnesia in terms of whose cash that really is. What am I saying? There's no way to track to make sure that the cash that the person who's taking it from the customer gets into the business account. So a lot of times, yeah, most businesses, especially if you're talking about doctors, doctors or whatever, they don't want to deal with cash. Not because of any other reason, then it takes more security, and it takes more responsibility. It's just something else to deal with, so they might not want to cash. But that's the only reason, I would say. That's the only reason. And now it's getting to the point, in most cases, not a problem. I have clients that own the restaurant. And normally when a restaurant, back in the day, they would distribute the tips collected to the waitstaff at the end of the day. At the end of the day. But the problem is, at the end of the day, 95% of the bills were paid either debit card or credit card. So there is no cash to distribute. And that's not because they don't accept cash. That's because most of the people in the society pay with plastic. Pay with plastic. In most cases, it might be a debit card. It might be Apple Pay. I have an Apple card. And they tell me I can get anywhere from 1% to 3% cash back. And it took me a little while to figure out, man, if I pay everything with the Apple Card, and at the end of the month I pay the balance in full, I might make an extra $30 to $40 or $50 in cash back. So my cash back has been adding up, taking advantage of that. So if you, and now you have credit cards, they're going to entice you with cash back. We're going to give 1%, 2% cash back. And there's nothing wrong with that if properly used. the main problem with people in credit today is the proper use of credit. And most people haven't got that. That wasn't taught to them in school. And it wasn't taught to them around the dinner table. In other words, it wasn't passed down from their parents. And because it wasn't passed down from the parents, they get in trouble because they don't know the proper utilization of that. And it's not the responsibility of the banks to take that. See, the banks don't want you to know the proper way to use what they're trying to give you. They don't want you to know that. They want you to, if you use your credit card, as Brother Henry was saying, take your time paying the bill. They don't harass you about paying it in full. They encourage you to make the minimum payment. And people make the minimum payment because if you're only making the minimum payment, they charge you more interest. And that's how they make their money. See, the banks are in the business of selling money. It's just like you go to the grocery store and you buy some bananas. The grocery store don't want you bringing the bananas back. You ever try to return some bananas to the grocery store? They don't want them back. The same way the bank don't want the money back. The bank tell you, take your time paying this. And I know it's this holiday season, and to be in the spirit of the holiday season, we're going to give you a payment holiday. Just pay the interest on what you got, and we'll give you a payment holiday. Ain't that big of them? Ain't that great? Oh, they so nice. They let you get a payment holiday because they know you're having problems. And in that payment holiday, they collect more interest, which is what they're looking for. And you think they're being nice and don't realize you're being a victim because you took advantage of their payment holiday. Or they say, 6 months the same as cash. You can take 6 months to pay this bill. We won't charge you any interest. Now, they already worked the number. They already signed stuff. They know that the average person ain't going to pay the bill in 6 months. On the fifth month, you had use of their money for 5 months with no interest. And then you go through the 6 month and you don't pay the bill at all. You violated the terms of that agreement. They're going to add on the interest that they didn't collect from you. They're going to add that on, even if you only owe $100. End up with the same amount of money I'm giving you interest free. It sounds good, doesn't it? But they've already studied human behavior. And they know that a certain percentage of the people are not going to keep the terms in force, and they're going to end up collecting just as much interest had you paid, probably more interest because you're paying interest on the unpaid balance. Probably more interest in doing it that way. And then you get mad with them. It ain't their fault. That's your fault. Don't get mad with them. Get mad with yourself and fall for the yoga dope. So, I mean, as I tell my clients, we live in a capitalist society. This is a capitalist society. And when you fail to learn the principles of capitalism and exercise it, you get capitalized on every time. Every time. And they're counting on it. They're counting on it. So when are we going to stop following Vic Gozer? I know everybody on the line ain't like that. Thank God you're not. But those that are, when are we going to learn the tricks and snares and pitfalls of capitalism so that we will no longer become victims of it? Whether it's with credit, whether it's interest rates. I mean, do some research. I mean, we're talking about high interest rates. Well, do some research. Do you realize in 2010, in your savings account, if you had a savings account in most banks in 2010, the interest rate that the bank would pay you for those savings accounts, like 0.2%, right? Interest rate. Well, the current interest rate account is 0.05. So the interest rates have gone down. Some are below that, 0.05. Now, to put this in perspective, the inflation rate is probably around 3%. 3%. What does that mean? If you have an item that you want to buy. Let's say there's an item you want to buy, and as soon as you can save, let's say it's $1,000. And it takes you, and you want to pay cash for it. So you put the money in a savings account. And it takes you a year to save up that $1,000 to buy that item. And because it's in a savings account and the bank's paying you 0.5%, that $1,000 a year later, for the sake of this example, would grow by 50 cents. So now you got $1,000 and 50 cents in the bank. But the inflation was 3%. So now you go to the store to buy that item for $1,000, and because of inflation, that item now costs $1,003. You $2.50 short because you didn't account for the factor of inflation. You didn't account for that. But that's how inflation works. So what the bank is paying you to hold your money isn't enough to keep up with inflation. So you say, well, what could I have done? Well, don't take it wrong, but you would have come out better leaving your money under your pillow. So, Adam, are you saying put your money under your pillow? Think about it. For the last year, you've been going to the bank. Put your money in the bank. And just on time and distance, let's say you drove to the bank to put your money in the bank, I guarantee you your cost of just getting to the bank, 50 cents. Was more than 50 cents. And if you didn't have to go to the bank, you spend that whatever, let's say you go 10 miles to the bank. If you didn't have to pay the gas cost on your car to go to the bank, you left it under your pillow along with the $1,000 that you had plus the transportation that you would have saved, you could have bought the item. You would have had the $1,003 to buy the item. You didn't have it because you spent the $3 or more to get back and forth to the bank, put your money in the bank. So maybe we should say, don't go to the bank, save the transportation costs, and buy whatever you want to buy a year later. See, this is what people do that are trying to do financial planning. All these factors come into play. All these factors come into play because there's money going out. You understand? So you're saying, well, you're going to tell everybody, man, Brother Adam crazy. He's saying, don't put your money in the bank. I'm not really saying that. But I'm saying he's taking a holistic approach to it. Or in the words of what he meant, used in Ramadan's program, the next program, the need for economic intelligence to labor down that deep is economic intelligence, because that's what businesses do. They double down that deep. They say, well, no, these are economic costs I can forego in order to achieve what I'm trying to achieve. These are economic costs. So you don't put your money in the bank like that and come back a year later and see who's going to have the most money. The one that took the $1,000 to the bank, or the one that kept it home and saved on the transportation cost to get to the bank, who's going to have the most money? If that's the outcome, who's going to have the most? You tell me, who's going to have the most money? Well, I'm not saying don't go to the bank, but I'm saying put your money where you're going to get the most benefit. Where you're going to have the most benefit, right? You know, I was at the mall, I was at the grocery store yesterday, and I saw this family, Indian family, they're from Asian Indian, and I have been knowing them for years. And they were surprised to see me because I hadn't seen them in years. They were surprised to see me, and I was surprised to see them. And they were there with their son. When I remember their son, he was about 6 or 7 years old. But he was grown up. Kid with him, I said, are you working? He said, yeah. I said, where do you work? He said, I work for the parent company, corporate office, of this store that we're in shopping in. Oh, that means you went to college. He said, yes, sir. He said, you majored in finance or whatever. And I remember straight out, they came to America to open their business. And guess who their customer was for the most part? Half an American. And they opened their business and sold to us, and they saved their money, and they sent their son to college, and now he's out of college. He's working. He's working a nice job, corporate office. And remember, Henry was talking about finance. About he was talking about how we finance people's stuff. We finance his son's education because we were the main customer that they were selling to. When are we going to finance our children? You understand? When are we going to do that? To be able to advance. We do it for everybody else, directly or indirectly, but when are we going to do it for ourselves? And it was a question when I first came into this community, and it's still a question. When are we going to do it for ourselves? I mean, in a way that we identify that it's happening. I'm not saying there are not success stories amongst us. But when are we going to be able to do it where we can identify that it's happening? We can come back years later and see something. When? Shadow of the clouds are saying, oh, this is happening, but we can't point. Or we say it in a way that it speaks to something that's operating, but we really don't know. It just sounds good. We want to believe that it's happening. But when are we going to be able to see and identify it? Am I wrong thinking like this or whatever? When are we going to be able to do that? Well, we won't have to say what they say. Identify. When? But we can see it. So we need to think about that. And I know I'm all over the map today, but that's all right. We're all over the map. And if anybody want to answer my question, you just press 1 to get in the queue, and we'll talk about it, if that be the case. So, play his next PSA, and then we'll be right back after this message, and we'll continue on with today's program, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
All right, we're back. This is Adam B. out here on Money Sense on AM360 on this Thursday morning. One thing I want to announce, I guess. You know, we're talking about having financial workshops, and it's important. And I believe that I would recommend to anybody to start getting information to help you make better decisions. It has to be a thought process. It has to be a change in action. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen because someone else did it. It's going to happen because you are making a conscious effort to get it done. And it's not age sensitive. You don't have to be 20 or 30 years old. Start where you are. You can start where you are. You can be 50 and start. You can be 60 and start in making better decisions to improve your life and improve the life of your family. And it becomes, pretty soon it becomes fun to see the results. Hey, I know you'll probably be like me. I should have done this a long time ago. Well, it's fine. You didn't. Start now and don't worry about what you didn't do when you could have. Just don't be here 10 years later and saying it. It becomes a greater, I guess I say sin, but it becomes a greater problem when you heard things like this today, and then you come in 10 years later and say, I wish I had. No, quit saying that. Quit saying that. Don't think like that. So anyway, Graceline Community. That's the one that the TSA we just played. And Graceline Community, we had a booth at the Time to Be Grateful. And we announced upcoming Wealth Creation 091. We're going to have 6 weeks of workshops, one a week. It's going to be on Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12. And you can register. Go to gracelinecommunity.org and type on the link that says seminars. But this is a list of seminars, six seminars. One, seminar workshop one, monetizing your attitude. Monetizing your attitude. There's nothing wrong with monetizing things. The premise of all this, as Brother Henry said, is to do the right thing. Do it in the right way. Do it without trying to abuse and get to take advantage of people. You know, that's not the spirit of the Muslim anyway. I shouldn't even have to say that. The second workshop is the value of an education in making an informed decision. The value of an education in making an informed decision. Week three, risk. The psychology of risk. And week four, basics of making money grow. Week five, assets and wealth transfer. And week six, wills and trust. We have expert presenters for each one of the workshops. Go ahead and register for the workshop. You can register for all six of them. And attend all you can. And it is a workshop. I mean, when you come to the workshop, treat it like a class. Bring pencil and paper. Take your notes. They're going to have a suggested reading list at the end of each workshop. If you can, get some of the reading list and study it. I mean, these are things you have to do. And when you get your mind right, and when you get your attitude right, you'll see some difference. You'll see some difference. But as I said, don't come in 10 months later or 10 years later and say, I wish I had. Let's go to the phone lines right quick. We still got about 3 minutes left in the program. Let's go to 636-980. 636-980. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Imam Adam Dia. Could you repeat the site for the registration, please?
Yeah. GracelineCommunityInc.org. GracelineCommunityInc.org.
All right, thank
and
you.
You'll see a button that says, seminars and events. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right, let's go. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, brother. Let's go back to phone lines. Area code 314-337. 314-337. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Brother Adam. Rashid Talam, St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, I'm so sorry. I didn't comment. You were doing such a good job of monetizing the attitude, you know. I just wanted to say that. I just want to say, well, real quick, I know we don't have much time. Continue doing what we're doing, because until we can consistently and constantly put this strategy in place, nothing's going to change. It's difficult.
with all the things, the vicissitudes of life that people go through, to keep this on their mind, even though it's the most important thing. So my suggestion would do more of this and share with the other hosts to do more of this, because if we don't do this, we're going to be in serious trouble, like we already are. But I would hate to see our children not benefit by what we know. That's all I wanted to say.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, Brother Rashid.
No
and let's have him say for record, Brother Rashid is one of the organizers of the Graceland community, and alhamdulillah, we've been working with your brother over 2 years almost, right? Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah.
So, alhamdulillah, Brother Rashid. Thank you very much, sir.
No problem.
All right. Well, it's almost, we're almost at the top of the hour. As I said, Imam Yusuf is not going to be in, and we're playing a rebroadcast if he is. And I want to do that in a minute. So just hang in there. Continue to hang in there, and we'll get ready for Imam Yusuf Ramadan, his segment. And let me get everything. Set up for his program. All right, inshallah. All right. All right. Oh, I had it here. All right.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you. You are invited to CWSC National Town Hall. Straight to the point. The 50-year human family planning. That's every second Saturday, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for 5 to 7 hours. Yes, you've heard it right. And we need your contribution. You want to be a part of the discussion and the solution, please dial 910-317-0297. Again, we are inviting you to join us every second Saturday for the discussion and for solutions to the 50-year human family planning. It is a CWSC National Town Hall, straight to the point. Your contribution is needed. We want to be informed, we want to implement, and we want to initiate documents. We have identified that we do need a 50-year human family planning. Let's remake the world into a better place. God's peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum. The Community-Wide Share Conference, SC, is established as a national resource and community service center supporting the Quranic principle of The Community-Wide Share Conference, SC, is established as a national resource and community service center supporting the Quranic principle of representative democracy or mutual consultation, also known as Amrahum Shura Bainahum, in the conduct of community affairs. The Community-Wide Shura Conference recognizes that only through Shura can the power of the group intellect be fully utilized for solving problems and discovering opportunities that help each of us improve our individual, family, and community life. From administration to clerical operations, training, and development, we're looking for top-notch volunteers who bring the leadership and management skills and commitment to support our mission. We have volunteer opportunities available, and our mission is to realize our model community vision by operating as a national intelligentsia, researching, designing, communicating, and implementing solutions that enhance goal achievement in all aspects of our community life. And what is our vision? It is to remake our world into a better place by unleashing and harnessing the full capacity inherent in the group intellect. We welcome each and everyone to Community-Wide Shura Conference. Let's remake our world into a better place. Thank you. And we look forward to working along with you. Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you.
Assalamu alaikum, brother, man.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. How you doing, my brother?
Alhamdulillah.
You're on the air, man.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. That is, peace be unto you, with God's name, the merciful.
The Community-Wide Share Conference, SC, is established as a national resource and community service center supporting the Quranic principle of representative democracy or mutual consultation, also known as Amrahum Shura Bainahum, in the conduct of community affairs. The Community-Wide Shura Conference recognizes that only through Shura can the power of the group intellect be fully utilized for solving problems and discovering opportunities that help each of us improve our individual, family, and community life. From administration to clerical operations, training, and development, we're looking for top-notch volunteers who bring the leadership and management skills and commitment to support our mission. We have volunteer opportunities available, and our mission is to realize our model community vision by operating as a national intelligentsia, researching, designing, communicating, and implementing solutions that enhance goal achievement in all aspects of our community life. And what is our vision? It is to remake our world into a better place by unleashing and harnessing the full capacity inherent in the group intellect. We welcome each and everyone to Community Wise Shura Conference. Let's remake our world into a better place. Thank you, and we look forward to working along with you. Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you.
Assalamu alaikum, brother, man.
Assalamu alaikum.
How you doing, my brother?
Alhamdulillah.
You're on the air, man.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. That is, peace be unto you, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And I'd like to welcome everyone to New Day Father Islam in America, the American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And this is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. And before we get into that, well, we'll start with this and then we'll get back into our PSAs. I want to bring you some information on this particular topic that we have, which is economic philosophy. Economic philosophy. There's different outlooks, philosophies about the field of economics. There's much debate that's going on now between, particularly in this election cycle, and it seems like there's always an election cycle, right? The election cycle is never over. As soon as one election is over, they're preparing for the next one. Between socialism as an economic system, capitalism as an economic system. But we want to bring to you the Muslim perspective also. Zakat is not charity, as it is translated, but as the Imam taught us, it is an economic system. It's an economic system. And I was enjoying the program, and I just wanted to bring your program, Brother Imam. This is from Islam's Climate for Business Success. The Imam says, doing for self. Because I'm not believing in the theology of the Nation of Islam that we were in before, should not make anyone come to the conclusion that I don't like doing for self. No one should come to the conclusion that I don't like seeing us work for business establishment and economic empowerment. What would make anyone think I'm not for that? When I'm as busy as I am with Shahada, declaring faith, Salat, prayer, Zakat, Siyam, fasting, Hajj, pilgrimage to Mecca, and the principles of faith, belief in God, in his angels, in his messengers, in his books, in judgment day, in the life hereafter, and in the law of God that rewards and punishes. I believe in all of Islam. What in my behavior would make anyone think that I don't want money anymore or don't want business anymore or that I am not for our people coming out of their poor showing in business and into a better showing? We want establishment in America. We want establishment that we don't have to be ashamed of. I feel proud of African Americans in the media and in the business corporate world who make big money. However, there is not nearly enough of them. We are fastly traveling out of inferiority into excellence and strength. This is what we want. We want to get into situations where we can use our resources and improve our skills and become resourceful enough to produce for ourselves so the white man won't have to carry us. We have to carry ourselves. And in that regard, we wanted to bring you this from the Imam on the need to build up our life.
Read over the Holy Scriptures
God is God in the heavens, and God is God of the heavens, and he is over both the heavens and the earth. So the picture of the whole world is kept before us by our reading, our sacred books, our holy books. Now, we here in this area, in the suburbs of Chicago, I live in Markham, but this is Homewood, and our office, these little towns are so close together, you can cross the street and be in another town. Our office is in East Hazelcrest, Illinois, just a stone throw from here. And we are in these places and asking the question, how come a black neighborhood has no black business to support it? When a Mexican neighborhood has Mexican businesses to support it. Polish neighborhood has Polish businesses supporting it. Irish neighborhood, Irish businesses supporting it. Palestinian neighborhood, Palestinian businesses supporting it. And so on. Why is it that the African-American neighborhood cannot have that kind of business growth representation? Well, we can't accept that.
Right.
I like that. Leaders before me didn't accept it, and I can't accept it. I don't want anybody telling me how much you love God and how much you serve God, and you live in a bad condition materially.
Right.
And nobody is forcing it upon you. Nobody is imposing it upon you. You accept that condition when something seriously wrong or missing in your religion.
Right.
God never intended that people disrespect their physical life. Well, he puts more importance on the spirit and more importance on the future of the life that will be spiritual more than material. You have to be established spiritually one day, because that is the great victory, to be established spiritually. But psychology knows, common sense tells us, when my material condition is bad, it affects my spirit. A bad material condition can make you have a bad spirit. So we have to be able to rise above material interest into spiritual enlightenment.
Yes.
Spiritual enlightenment. But all along the path to that excellence for human life, we have to respect the material side. Hence God says to us in our holy book, see by the means I have given you the future life.
Yes.
But don't neglect your share of this material world. Now, God didn't say he was speaking to me personally or to poor people. No. God was speaking to a rich man. A rich man in our Quran. It was a rich man who was neglecting the spiritual side of his life. But he had great achievements for the material life, for the material side. He had great achievements. But he wasn't fair toward others. He had benefited greatly from the society and the people of that society had supported him. Without their support, he could not have grown wealthy and so powerful. So the word came to him, this is good. scripture against you working hard for the material side. But look, you're cheating these people. You're cheating them out of their life. Why don't you invest something back in the community?
All right.
This is what is addressed in this rich man, criticism of this rich man. So God says, seek, but the means that God grants you, the destiny, the afterlife, the hereafter, or the future that God wants for us, for our souls. But don't forget, don't neglect your share of the material world. Now, any Arabic student of Quran, any scholar in Islam, any leader in Islam that is legit, they know, that person knows that God is speaking to that rich man, all right? But now, why does the rich man have to be told to seek the material interest? He's already done that. So this is the language of God. His language is so powerful and so full of meaning and communication. He is speaking to the man who's not totally, unguilty or not to blame. That's the poor. Yes, the rich, they cheat us many times. They build their powerful wealth upon our ignorance and our and our dependency on them. They build their wealth. They're to blame, but also we're to blame. But usually it's the rich man's fault too, that the poor man doesn't know his words, doesn't know his own personal work. It's a creation. Because the rich man encouraged the idea in religion that you, if you want to be a good person in religion, then don't follow me. Don't follow me. I'm a businessman. Go to your church. Follow your priest. It is the wealth, the people who hold the wealth, who try to make others think that, if I'm going to be a businessman, then I can't devote myself to religion like that. Like there's a conflict, and if you give your life, your interest to spiritual life or religion, you're not going to be fit for business. So God is speaking through this person's situation, not only to the rich, but also to the poor.
Alhamdulillah. There's much more to this. And I would advise everyone to pull that up on YouTube, The Need to Build Up Our Life. But it's highlighting what I'm talking about. I'm highlighting what I'm talking about. Philosophy. See? It's a way of looking at economics that if you're a good person, you wouldn't focus on money. You have no focus on money. You would shun that. Money is the root of all evil, that type of philosophy, you see. So the philosophy that you follow, what you believe, is going to dictate the way that you acquire money. It's going to dictate the way that you invest and things of that nature, you see. So you have people, and this is such a vast subject, we could never cover it in one program. In fact, I'm going to propose to my brother, Imam Adam, whose program Money Sense, that we have a panel discussion, or maybe we have a conference on that,
maybe on the radio and maybe in person. Because it's such a major problem for us. It's a major problem to get us to think, and not because it's unnatural. Our brother, he wrote a book called, you know, Success is Automatic. It's not automatic. It's natural. Business, the word automatic means it had, no, it don't happen. On if it happened automatically, we'd all have it. I think what he was trying to convey, I agree with him, what he was trying to convey is that what's stopping us is that we have been conditioned not to pursue that. That's a condition. We were conditioned through chattel slavery in America, and now you'll hear the Republicans using that as talking points that the welfare system is worse than slavery. Well, really, they got that from us. The Ben Carsons and people like that, they got that from our thinking, but they got it warped. They got it messed up. You know, at one time during the Nation of Islam, you know, we were taught we didn't accept no welfare. We would not accept welfare and food stamps and all that. Because do for self mean you had to get out there, and if you, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if you don't have a job, make a job. So to the liberal Negro, oh, that's how am I going to do that? Well, let me support it even further. With Al-Islam, a man came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying he had no money. He had no money. The Prophet responded to him, have you ever pursued wealth? He said, no. The Prophet laughed. Then he said, well, why don't you go out in the woods? Now you tell them to do for self. Chop some wood up and bring it to the marketplace. This is capitalism now, right? Bring it to the marketplace and sell it. And then you'll have some money. The man said, I don't have an axe. The prophet laughed again. So you really in bad shape. He told the brother, do me a favor. Loan him your axe. Take the brother's axe, go out there in the woods, cut up some wood, bring it to the marketplace, sell it, take the money, buy you an axe, give him his axe back, and just keep on, wash, rinse, repeat. Just keep doing it. So there it is right there. If you don't have a job, make a job. But the liberal Negro has been so messed up, they laugh at that. They disdain pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. How can I pull myself up by my own bootstraps? I don't even have boots. Well, then you have to get some help until you can buy some boots and then repay the person and then keep on going so you can go to work. You see? We've become helpless. So when they say that welfare is worse than slavery in that sense, which they don't really understand the true understanding of it, in that sense, they're correct. It's not worse than slavery. It's not worse, but it's a form of slavery. When you're thinking that the mental slavery is worse than physical slavery, certainly it's not worse than the hangings and the beatings and all the physical torture that we went through. But you see where we're going with that. So at this point, we want to break. Pause for the cause. You listen to New Day Fight Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And we want to bring you some very important messages, and then we will be right back. Ready, ma'am?
I'm an American Muslim, and I have the freedom to say just about whatever I want. And that's a great blessing for my personal intellect, and I hope for the group intellect. I have a free speech right, and I'm proud of that right. But let me ask you, just because I have the right to say a thing, does it mean it's right to say it? Citizenship has its responsibility. When we speak, we should speak our mind, but we can also speak from our hearts. And when we do both, maybe it will help us all become better communicators and more responsible citizens. Even when we disagree, we can still be agreeable. Let's use our free speech wisely, because our expression can help or hurt.
a public service announcement from AM 360 and CWSC.
Don't give up the faith. Keep your heart right like the mountain stand for eternity, and your light will shine for the world to see. Keep your heart right.
All right, brother, ma'am, you're back on.
Alhamdulillah. So, any thoughts, brother, ma'am, on what we've covered so far?
Well, no, I think it's excellent. You're spot on. I appreciate that from Imam Muhammad, from the Islam's Climate for Business Success. I think it's right on time. And that's the Imam I follow. That's my remember from Imam Muhammad and things he's trying to lead us to. So that was a definitely appreciated.
Alhamdulillah. So I got something else I want to bring to us from we're talking about the philosophy of economics. You see, and how economics is a philosophy, how you think. That's why some people see Donald Trump came out recently against Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is really just the term for it turned out to be the generic term for cryptocurrency. That
right.
made me believe
right.
in it even more. But you don't hear me. You understand what I'm saying? Because he's
right.
a backwards thinker. He's a backwards thinker, not forward thinker. He living in the past, you see. So when he, you know, this is what drives my economic philosophy. And I don't talk about it anymore because I don't really like to give people advice on business because if it goes well, you're not going to get anything from them. If it goes poorly, they're going to blame you. They're going to say it's your fault. So, you know, sometimes people twist my arm and ask me, you know, for some advice about something, you know, I'll try to give them some general advice, you know, about business, and by make it plain, this is my philosophy. This is what I believe in. So I went in business. The reason why I went in business entrepreneurship is because I don't want a democracy when it comes to running my business. I want a dictatorship. I want to do it my way. You see, because I believe my way, and we'll see. We'll. My father used to say, "You test efficiency by progress." If I don't know what I'm doing, I'll be on welfare. Right? You have to know what you do. So I believe in myself, and I want to see my dream or my vision become a reality. To me, that's the most exciting thing you can do. As I explained to my daughter, the most exciting thing to me is that Allah bless you with a vision, and you make it concrete and make it real. And it goes from the drawing board to an actual business that's working, that's generating income, that's paying taxes, that's giving people jobs, feeding you and your family and other people. That's very exciting to me. I love that. But I want to do it my way. You see? And
yeah.
The part of the problem with Trump is he's an entrepreneur, too, that wants to do things his way. But now he's the president. You don't get to do. You don't get to run the country your way. Because we have three co-equal branches of government. You see,
right.
You know the judicial, and the legislative, the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. You see, and they have a system of checks and balances to check one another. You know, and that's good. That's democracy. Democracy is called government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But the real definition of democracy is limited government. It's spelled out what the powers of the government is. So it doesn't take more, and that's why it's the difference between the separation of powers, the difference between the state government and the federal government. So the federal government doesn't smother the states. There's certain things that's local that those states can better decide for themselves. than to have somebody from outside imposing it upon them. You see? So I want, this is a brother that I like, and I listen to him quite a bit, but I don't follow his philosophy all the way. I take something from him. I take, some people just want to keep pushing one person. Oh, Robert Kiyosaki or this one. No, I don't agree with everything they say. I didn't go into business to follow Robert Kiyosaki. If he got something of value, I'm going to take that. If this one has something of value, I'm going to take that. Like the Chinese restaurant, one from column A and one from column B. I'm going to do what works for me. And then I want to have my own ideas. I have my own ideas about how to make things work. You see? And you know what? When you're an entrepreneur, as you know, Brother Man, it's called flying without a net. You can't be afraid to fly without an entrepreneur because there's no safety net for you, or very little.
Right.
Or if you're making some money, you have to be wise enough to put some money aside because you're going to have some, like the Quran says, you're going to have some good years and some lean years. Everybody don't have the stomach for that. They'd rather have a set amount of money that they put their time in exchange for a salary because they believe that the person paying them has is more capable than they are. And maybe they're right. I had a friend of mine that invested $50,000 with me, and I didn't ask him for it. Really, I didn't want it because I didn't need it. I was already in the business that I was starting. He wanted to be a partner with me. And I told him the only way I would accept it, first of all, we got to put this in writing, that this is not a loan. It's an investment. And secondly, you're a silent partner, meaning I don't want to hear nothing from you. Most people say, he put up his money and he can't say nothing. That was the terms of the agreement. The only thing he can say, the only thing is that how he gets compensated for his investment. That's it. But in terms of input, I didn't want no input from him. And he told me that he felt more comfortable investing his money with me than keeping it with himself because he knew that he didn't. There's another thing, money management. He was a poor money manager. And here's the other thing. You ever, when you were young, you were working and you gave some money to your mother and father and said, here, keep this for me. If I ask for it, don't give it to me. You didn't mean that. You didn't mean it. And they knew you didn't mean it. Well, when he gave me the money, he didn't mean that either. Because when he started right. telling me about his mortgage was due, he getting ready to get put out, he's a friend of mine. I wound up giving him back the money anyway. He'll tell you. If I bring him here, he'll come on the radio and tell you. I wound up giving his money back anyway. Because he is a friend of mine, and I know he's a bad money manager, you know. And so he wound up, and when I found out how much money he really had, I went crazy. I couldn't believe how much money. Him and his wife were in a bad accident. I think they wound up with about, oh, man, close to $700,000. And they just went crazy. They went started buying cars, just everything they could buy. They bought a good baby. They bought a house and paid it off. Then they started mortgaging the house, refinancing, lost the house. So he was right to know that he's not a good money manager. But part of the things that I disagree with people that say, hey, you shouldn't have no cash because if you have the cash, you're going to spend it. No, I'm not. I'm not a compulsive consumer. Ooh, you know, one time I went with a friend of mine who was a great money maker, but he was a terrible money manager because he would just spend. So he had his latest girlfriend he was trying to impress, and he had me to come with him to buy her a coat. He was buying her a fur coat, and I was laughing because of the expensive coats they were showing him. They told him, I never forgot this, they told him, at this price, you can't afford not to get it. I had to laugh, you know what I mean? Oh, he got it. He bought it, too. He definitely bought it. But he took money away from another project that his family gave him, and they told him in front of me. Now, if you mess this money up, that's it. He didn't pay that no mind. He messed up that money. But he was good at making money. He just wasn't good at keeping money. So I want to play part of this for you because
This is another philosophy, and this brother's good. He makes me think about things, and he calls it minority mindset. See, that's back to philosophy. He says, I never use a debit card.
What's up, everybody? I am Jaspreet Singh, and welcome to the Minority Mindset. We are living in a new digital age where the only people that carry around cash are dinosaurs and drug dealers.
Now, that's a damn lie. Okay? That don't even make sense. Okay? But that's his philosophy.
People that buy the drugs. But for most of us, a credit card or a debit card is the easiest way to buy things because now you don't got to carry around a bunch of cash in a wallet that's going to make your pants sag. You can just carry around a piece of plastic. Although, I do still use one of those fat wallets. I don't know. I guess I just like the old school look. For a big portion of my life, I only used a debit card or cash to buy things because I thought that was the financially smart thing for me to do. And now, I never use a debit card to buy things, ever. And I try to avoid using cash at all costs. See, I didn't grow up learning about money. I learned by reading books and then trying things and then making mistakes and then coming up with my own opinions on what's right. Towards the end of high school and in the beginning of college, I read a bunch of money books, and a few of these books talked about how credit cards are destroying people's lives financially. That scared me. I mean, credit card debt is expensive. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to destroy my financial life, so I never applied for a credit card. I just carried around a bunch of cash, and I had a debit card just in case. And this worked great until somebody stole the cash out of my wallet from the gym locker room.
Big deal.
I filed a police report both times, but nothing happened. I probably lost a couple hundred dollars each time, which sucked.
Big deal. Big deal. So somebody stole your money out your wallet, out the gym locker, a couple of hundred dollars, so you're never going to have cash again? It don't make no sense. Secure your money better. That's all. That's not an argument against cash to me, but nevertheless, I'm going to let him continue.
I didn't have to worry about credit card debt because that would have sucked way more. So for most of my college career, I kept buying things with cash on my debit card until I was finally pushed over the edge. I've been an entrepreneur for a long time, and I know the business of buying things cheap and selling them for a higher price. So at one point, I bought $3,500 worth of like cell phone accessories that I was going to flip, and I bought this through PayPal with my debit card. But I never ended up getting my products that I bought, and I couldn't get a hold of the seller. So I called up PayPal to see what they could do, and this was years ago, before they really built out their purchase protection stuff. And they were like, sorry, we don't do purchase protection for certain things. But if you call our new credit card company, they won't be able to reverse the transaction, no problem. Wait, credit card company? I don't have a credit card. I use a debit card. And that's what the PayPal rep said. Oh, sorry to hear that. Well, you can call up your debit card company to see if there's something they can do. So I called up my debit card company to see if there's something they could do to get my $3,500 back. And talking to them was kind of like talking to a robot before artificial intelligence was really popular. Sorry, sir. After you make a purchase with your credit card, there's nothing we can do. But wait, there's like nothing. Sir, did you not hear what I just said? After you make a purchase with your debit card, the money leaves your account. And after the money leaves your account, there's nothing we can do. You can try to call an attorney or try to go after the business, but there's nothing we can do. We only offer this purchase protection with credit card. Now I was like, wow. So I've had my cash stolen and my debit card didn't offer any.
And that's not even true anymore. Because someone hack into my debit card, had them hack into my debit card and make purchases, and they return the money to me, okay? So, but that's his philosophy. The point I'm trying to make is the way you handle your money is your philosophy of money. That's why it's very hard for people when you get married, you have to understand your mate and the way that they see money. Some people see money as, you know, I've heard one brother told me,
that's what money is for, to spend. That's what money is for, to spend. Well, you know, if you spend all your money, then what? Well, I want to enjoy my life. Well, that's a crazy philosophy, okay? Prophet Muhammad says, here we are again with the economic philosophy. He says, you should live your life as though you're going to live forever. And at the same time, live as though you're going to die tomorrow. In other words, balance. Balance. Very, very important, okay? So we're going to take some phone calls if anyone finds this topic interesting and you don't. And you'd like to press one on your phone and ask a question or make a comment on this particular topic.
Well, right now, brother, and ma'am, there's no one in the queue, but, oh, someone just popped in. Let's go to the phone lines. 914-434-914-434.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif calling. And ma'am, Adam, you're both on. That's good. The same time. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, this may be my last. Well, anyway, I put it this way. Why do you, Imam Ramadan, Imam Adam, why do you think success do not come on these blog talk radio programs? I'm talking about successful people that's making money, that's in business, that's in the millionaires, billionaires, big successful people. We know where they are. We very seldom hear them. Why do you think they don't come on these blog talk radio programs? None of them.
Well, maybe they haven't been invited on. I don't know. I can't answer that. I can only talk for my program. You know, I've had successful people on my show. But I don't know, Imam Adam, you want to address that?
Well, I haven't invited anyone of that stature on my program. And most of the times, if you see them on, even if it's on television, they've been invited, and they see value in it, you know. So, and lastly, they're probably busy people, you know. So I think it's a combination of reasoning as to why. And that's all I had. If someone else might know in the audience, so feel free to press. Maybe somebody you know that is wealthy and why they don't do it. And Muhammad, I do have to say that, you know, this venue that we're on is wide and big, you know, not more than just through the AM 360. Are you just talking about AM 360 or are you talking about in general?
No, I'm talking about blog to radio in general. When I say that, I mean on the AM 360, on any blog talk we got coming on out of our community. When I say our community, coming out of this, we call Imam W.D. Muhammad's community. That's what I mean when I say that. Any program that come on 6 days or 7 days a week coming out of blog talk radio out of any in our communities, we don't have any successful people. I'm talking about the millionaires, billionaires and all. Big successful people, they are not on any of our programs. But like I said, maybe
they don't
know
like, maybe they don't like us. I don't know. Don't worry about it.
It's not that. That's why I asked you a question. I leave that question out there.
We'll work on it. We'll work on it, Muhammad.
Okay, good. All right.
Or maybe we'll go out home. What do you think?
Well, you say we're working on that. That's good.
Yeah, we grow our own big money.
That's right.
From within us. That's what we're trying to do, brother.
Mm-hmm.
This is just good people. They want to help people and whatever. And that right there limits a whole lot of them. I don't see where they would. All right. But we'll work on it.
All right.
We'll work on
all right.
it. Inshallah.
Okay.
All right, buddy, man. We do have another call on the line. Let's go to the phone line. And phone number shows us all ones, but caller, you on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Yusuf Ramadan and Imam Adam. This is Sister Amina from Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. I want to salute you because this is the kind of talk that we need. We need to really, really marry, you know, what Quran tells us about wealth. You know, we are to get our share in this world. Allah says this. So it is incumbent upon us to at least make that effort. And as you were talking, you know, I love that mantra about if you don't have a job, make a job, or at least find out a way that you can attempt to make one. We need this kind of talk in our community, and we need to remind each other of that. And I just wanted to mention that as a Muslima who is divorced twice, I'm determined to build me some wealth before Allah called me, and I have that as a goal. I've been work, you know, and basically, I'm reinvigorating my career, changing careers. I've been in healthcare and all of that. But I'm looking at expanding, you know, and welcoming the gifts that Allah has. Now, here in this metro Atlanta area, I just wanted to highlight this real briefly. There's a conference that's going to be held this weekend about Muslimas in business. It is sponsored by a group. It's called Amazingly Radiant Muslimas in Business. So this is excellent. You know, we have to really focus on these kind of, even though I don't know if I'll be able to attend, but I'm just putting it out there that this is how we have to think. Going into business, learning about business, being in business, and supporting the businesses that are available. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you. All right, there's no one else in the queue, buddy, man. Okay, so we want to bring some more information to you in that regard. So that we can think about it, because they're banding these terms around, and are within the media. Most of these media pundits, they don't know what they're talking about either. But let me give a little breakdown before we have to go. From Professor Richard Wolf on his program is called.
Well, that kind of blew my mind. After over half a century of endlessly demonizing anything and everything having to do with socialism, that one quarter of the American voting population feels they would be drawn to a candidate who said of himself or herself, I'm a socialist, tells you something about change in America beyond what a million other surveys might show. So socialism is on the agenda. And so I think it might be useful to become clearer than most of the conversation has been about what socialism means. I wish I could sit here and tell you that this is the definition of socialism. But if I did such a thing, you should turn the program off and go elsewhere. Because anybody who tells you that this is socialism is either ignorant or misleading you. Socialism has been around for 150 years. It has spread all over the world, and the end result, inevitably, is that different people mean different things by that term. Look, capitalism is what we call the economy in the United States. It's also what the leaders of Saudi Arabia call their economic system. And it's also what the people in Ireland call theirs, and it's also what the people in Nigeria call theirs. Therefore, it obviously means different things to different people. So I want to devote this program to going over with you the three major ways this idea of socialism is understood. Because those ways are relevant today. Those ways are fighting it out amongst themselves in terms of the allegiance and feelings and thoughts of people around the world. And they're going to shape our future. So here's the first one. In this view, socialism has to do with the government. That's right. The government is to come in and regulate, control a private capitalist economy. That's right. An economy governed by private enterprises owned by private citizens who trade with one another in an institution called the market, where they buy and sell their labor, their work, their products, their services. That's right, it's a capitalist economy, private enterprise, markets, but one in which the government is brought in. Some people mean socialism by that, and they mean particularly that the government is brought in a certain way. Number one, the government is to regulate what the private enterprises do so that they are less self-serving, profit-oriented, and are more socially concerned. That's why the minimum wage is something socialists always supported. Many of them want there to be limits on how much prices can be raised by corporations or how much profits can be earned by them. And the second reason socialists want the government to come in is to redistribute wealth. Because capitalism has this tendency to concentrate wealth. And very few hands drive the mass of people. So the socialists want the government to come in using taxes and using government spending to do a bit of redistribution, to equalize a system that turns unequal very quickly. So for these people, socialism means that the government comes in, regulates and taxes to make what we might call capitalism, because it leaves it in, at least business in the hands of private enterprises and markets, but we could call it capitalism with a humane face, capitalism with a certain welfare focus, welfare of all the people. And here are some examples. Denmark, Norway, Germany, Italy, France. Those countries are often referred to as socialist. Their governments are often governments of socialist parties, and that's what those parties mean, that they will have the government do this regulating and redistributing. That's one concept of socialism around the world. It's pretty close to what Bernie Sanders means in the United States, or what Jeremy Corbyn means